Good morning, happy Sabbath. Our scripture reading today comes to us from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 22. Always be joyful in Christ. Never stop praying. Be thankful to God for what he has done for you, no matter what happens. This is the kind of life God expects from those who know Jesus Christ. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit kindled in your heart. Don't treat inspired messages as if they were not important. Check out everything you read and everything you hear and hold on to what's true. Avoid every form of evil, even if it looks innocent. In Jesus' name.
There is no word today, kids, but I will have something for you after church, so listen anyway. I might ask you a question, see if you're listening. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we open your word and study together this morning, we pray that you will just open our eyes to what you would have us to learn. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. I have a question to ask you. How many of you have at any time in your life made a New Year's resolution? Okay. Have you ever, or do you every time keep it for the entire year? Oh, look at that. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Daryl says he's done it sometimes. You know, it's interesting that we do that, isn't it? We make a resolution, we make a promise to ourselves that we're going to do something and that we're going to keep it for the entire year. Webster's dictionary defines the word resolve. There's actually 13 separate definitions of the word resolve in the Webster's dictionary I have at home. But I picked four out that I felt fit more to what I wanted to talk about this morning. The one means to decide or to determine. So when we decide or do we determine something, we're resolving it. It also means to separate or break down into constituent parts or to analyze. Do you ever analyze your New Year's resolution? You know, if I do this, if I make this my resolution, then my goal is to reach this by the end of January and by the end of March be at this point, by the end of July be here. Have you ever done that? I have. You know, analyze it, break it apart. Resolve also means to make up one's mind. And then finally, it means determination or a fixity of purpose. So when we make these resolutions or we resolve to do something, it's determined upon our part. And then I also looked at the definition of the word resolution. And the reason I did resolve first is because the first definition of the word resolution, of which there are eight definitions, is the purpose or course resolved upon. So if you don't know what resolve is, you can't know what resolution is, apparently. Firmness of purpose is the second one, and the third one is a statement expressing the intention. So that's what a New Year's resolution is. It's a statement expressing intention. At this time of year, people all over the world are busy trying to decide what they want to make their New Year's resolution for this next year, for the year 2008. And by the way, I've quit making resolutions because I don't think I've ever kept one for an entire year, so I decided why bother. It's just one of those things. But here are some things that people might resolve to do in this new year: to eat more healthy, and maybe to stop smoking, to stop drinking or doing some other things like that, to lose weight, to make better decisions, or maybe to come to church more, or to read your Bible and pray more. But all of these resolutions have one thing in common. One thing. When we, as human beings, make a resolution, we always make one that we think we can keep on our own, by ourselves, under our own power. We make a resolution because we think we can do it. And apparently we can't, at least most of us can't. But the fact is, if you look at statistics, within 1 month, almost half will have already stopped and quit working on their resolution and quit whatever it is they resolve to do. Within 6 months, over 80% will have stopped. And by the end of 10 or 11 months, there's only about 5% that will still be working on their resolutions that will have kept it for longer than that short amount of time. In the book 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you have your Bible and want to turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. This particular passage gives us some ideas of what God would like to see in our lives as resolutions. Resolutions that He can help us with and support us through. Resolutions. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, says, "And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass." So let's break this down. We'll look at a verse at a time. So in verse 14, Paul says he urges you, brethren, to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and to be patient with all men. Admonish the unruly literally means to admonish the ones that are out of ranks. In the military, if you're marching in formation and somebody's out of ranks, it can make a big mess, because if the person's in the middle of the group and is out of step, a few of the ones behind them are going to start being out of step too, and eventually you'll have a whole formation will be a mess marching. And so drill sergeants take it very seriously if you can't march and keep step in a formation. So literally Paul's saying, if somebody steps out of formation, if they step out of the things of Scripture, we are to gently, not agonizingly, not pointing fingers, gently woo them back, to admonish them, to bring them back to the church, to bring them back to what they know is true. The second one, encourage the faint-hearted. To comfort, to cheer up, to bring people around. To help a person see hope in a place of despair. I know I've talked with many of you at times, and sometimes you've told me that you just don't see the point. That you just feel like there's nothing left for you. I've had one person recently tell me that they feel like, why should they try anymore, because they've already committed the unpardonable sin and God wouldn't want them anyway. You know, why do we have that kind of despair? We need to lift these people up. We need to encourage them, to let them see hope in this point, and comfort those who need comfort, to build up those who might be timid. To help the weak literally means to take an interest in them, to pay attention to them, to help the church give spiritual support to those in need of this uplifting strength of the Lord. This would include helping someone who we know is undergoing a real severe time of temptation to stand firm. You know, several of our church members have attempted to stop smoking, and some of them have made it and some of them haven't. But, you know, if they decide to make that their resolution for this year, wouldn't it be great as we, if a church, got behind them and called them, you know, maybe assigned days and called them and say, you know, how are you doing today? You know, don't give in, don't give in. God's with you, and he'll help you gain the victory over this. So give the support, give the things that are needed. And the last one is probably the hardest one of this verse, be patient with all men. Literally, it means to be slow to anger. You know, we have a tendency as human beings to almost have a quick trigger, that things upset us more easily. I think with each passing year, I've noticed the older I get, the easier the trigger is. You know, when I was younger, things rolled off more. I was telling someone out in the foyer just a minute ago that whenever I get angry, most people don't know it. I hide my anger, but I can feel it, because when I'm angry, my blood pressure goes up and I can feel the pulse at the base of my throat beating harder. And so I know that I'm not being patient whenever I allow that kind of anger to flare up. And, you know, if I'm at work and that happens, you disappear into the restroom, you go in one of the little stalls, you shut the door, and you're going, it's not worth it, it's not worth the hassle, it's not worth the bother, it doesn't mean anything in the scheme of things. You know, why should we let it get us upset? Because in the whole scheme of things that God has for us, it doesn't matter. We shouldn't let the little things get to us that way. God wants us to be kind and patient to all that are around us. In verse 15, the Apostle Paul goes on and says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men." Paul's asking us to be very vigilant about this. You know, he wants the church to aspire to do good. You know why? He's telling the church to do good. If you're busy doing good, do you have time to think up the evil things? Do you have time to retaliate if you're busy as a person being good to everyone and finding ways to help? Do you have time to think about getting even with someone who might have hurt your feelings? No. We need to spend time doing good for people because we don't have time to spend thinking about getting even. Let's do good for people, and then we won't have time to worry about the rest. The Apostle Paul in verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." You know, sometimes this one's a tough one. It's the value of the ability to always be happy. So let me ask, are you guys always happy? No, I'm not always happy either. There are times that I'm happy and there's times that I find sadness in my life. But what he's saying is that the overall attitude and outlook of our life should be happiness, because we have abundant reasons for rejoicing always. You've been forgiven for your sins. You have a clear conscience before the God of the universe, the King of the universe. Isn't that a reason to be happy, to be joyful? You have nothing in your mind between you and God, and peace should fill your soul. And not only that, as Christians, we know that all things work together for good. So even when something upsets us and might make us feel a little downtrodden and sad, ultimately we should remember that God is in control, and we should be able to find that peace and happiness in it. All of those things. Ellen White in Ministry of Healing says this, "Those who are constantly complaining do not have a genuine religion." So we should be rejoicing, not continually complaining. Because if we're complaining all the time, then our religion must not be genuine. Verse 17 says to pray. One other story I want to share before we leave verse 16. I've shared it before. If anybody would have a reason for going around with a glum face all the time, it would have been Corrie Ten Boom. And if you haven't read her book, The Hiding Place, you need to. You know, she and her sister spent time in Auschwitz and some of the other concentration camps during the German occupation. And it's interesting whenever you read her story, because she was a complainer. She was one of those that found the negative in everything Corrie did. And they were at one particular prison camp, and there was several rooms in this bunkhouse that they were in, if you want to say that. And her sister and her were assigned in one of the back rooms, and it was full of lice, it was full of fleas, it was full of all other kinds of things. And she was complaining about them one day and going on and on about it. And her sister Betsy looked at her and said, "Corrie, we need to be thankful for all of these things." And she says, "Thankful for the bugs, for all of this? Why should we be thankful?" And she says, "Because we can share the gospel, because the guards never come in this room because of the bugs." So Betsy saw the rejoicing side of it, and Corrie saw the let's always complain side of it. And Corrie determined from that point on in her life that she wanted to be like Betsy and to find the good in things. And she told Corrie, she says, "I guess I could be thankful for the bugs." You know, even grudging thankfulness is a little bit, you know, better than turning your back on it and just being negative all the time. In verse 17, Paul goes on to say, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. There should be a constant flow between you and the Lord, a constant connection. If that connection gets unplugged, then what do you have? You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to do a formal prayer constantly all day long. It doesn't mean that you're going to do a formal prayer every hour on the hour either. But it does mean that throughout the day, things will happen that will trigger that you will think between you and the Lord, "Oh, Lord, you know, can you help me in this situation? Oh, Lord, I feel myself losing control here. You know, can you help me here?" But that constant connection, knowing that it will never be broken on God's end. If it gets broken, it's because we broke it. But pray without ceasing, that constant attitude in our hearts of closeness to the Lord. "Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks under all circumstances. And that, Betsy and Corrie, that applies here too. Even when things appear against us. Daniel is a good example of this. Daniel went up to the upper room, and it says he prayed and he gave thanks. And he did that after he knew about the decree that to pray and give thanks would mean the death sentence. And he did it anyway. So he went up there and he prayed and gave thanks, even knowing that it could cost him his life. How many times did you see Paul sitting in jail singing praises and giving thanks, even though he's sitting in a jail cell? You know, him and Silas singing and praying in jail. I know it's hard. It's hard to give thanks in all things. I slip up this a lot because there's a lot of things that happen in my life I don't want to thank God for. But we need to learn to give thanks in all things and under all circumstances, even when things appear against us. You know, these guys spent a lot of time in jail, but they still gave thanks. They still praised and honored God. Verse 19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Literally, that means do not stifle or suppress the Spirit. Don't put out the fires of revival. We talk about Christ as the light of the world, but the Holy Spirit, the symbol for the Holy Spirit is the fire. You know, the flaming tongues of fire that came down on Pentecost upon the people and things. So whenever you quench the Spirit, you stifle the fire, you suppress the flame. And so you turn off that connection with the Holy Spirit and make it so he can't work in and through your life. And it goes on in verse 20, it says, "Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good." Didn't God promise us that he would provide prophets when we need them? Didn't he promise us that? Over and over again, he said, you know, "I will do nothing unless I reveal it through my servants, the prophets." And so, God, if we have a need and need a prophet, God's going to send one. But he doesn't want us to despise them. In the Old Testament, many of the prophets were despised by the people and were killed for giving messages from the Lord. So we need to remember that prophecy is something that we need to examine closely. But if it meets the prophetic tests of a prophet, the biblical tests of a prophet, we need to accept it as being real and true. And then verse 22 goes on and says, "Abstain from every form of evil." And it means to hold yourself away from it. You know, we talked about this morning in the junior Sabbath school class, that by beholding things, we become changed. And to keep ourselves away from evil, it means watch the type of music you listen to. Watch the type of television that you see. And it's getting to the point where we all need to throw that thing away unless all we're watching is 3ABN. Because I don't know about you, but the assault of the commercials is getting very horrific as far as the nudity and the language and everything else that they're showing. It's to the point where it's almost time to ban the thing. You know, all of these things that God is thinking of, beholding, the things that you read, other things that you do, by beholding you become changed. We talked this morning in the Sabbath school class about how some of these teenagers that have done these horrific murders and things, that it was brought on by the things they listened to, the people they hung out with, the music they chose, the words to the music. It changed them from the sweet little children their parents remember them being, the obedient child, to a child that's willing to go out and murder someone. By beholding, we become changed, and the Bible tells us to abstain from every form of evil. God will bring spiritual things in our lives to resolution. We don't have to do it. God will do that work in us if we'll only open the door and let him. So let's look again at what we can resolve to do. First of all, we can resolve for the sake of the kingdom to let people know when they are going astray. How many of you believe Jesus Christ is coming back real soon? I believe it with all my heart. And how can we sit by and watch fellow church members and friends and family and Christians turn their back on their faith when we know the coming is close? It's better to have them angry with us for confronting them than to have them miss eternity because we were silent. So that way, see, is our first resolution, the resolution that for the sake of the kingdom to let people know when they're going astray. The second one is we need to resolve to build people up, to become a congregation that's full of encouragers, a congregation that will always lift people up, encourage them, tell them, "I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, you know, what can I do to help you?" That kind of a congregation. A congregation that helps those that are weaker in faith, that's there for those who are hurting, who are depressed, who are ill, who are grieving. One so that we can encourage someone to stand firm against temptation. ones that can show patience even whenever some people might feel impatient. The third thing that we can resolve to do is to seek to find the good things in others. And we can seek to do good for others. Remember Pay It Forward? A few years ago it was real popular and things like that. So, you know, seek to do good for someone. And when they say, oh, I'll pay you back as soon as I can, you say, no, don't pay me back. Pay it to someone else who has a need. Pay it forward. Just let it spread to know that we care about you. So resolve to do good for others. We can also resolve to keep your connection with heaven open at all times. That pray without ceasing. Keep your connection to heaven open at all times. You know, read your Bible, pray, study, sing songs in your heart. You know, if you're driving down the road in your car, just sing. You know, you don't have to have the radio to sing to, just sing. Whistle. Let people know that you're happy. The fifth thing that we can resolve to do is to give thanks in all things. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what may go on. This morning I was telling Al, I went out to get my van out of the garage and had a flat tire on my van. It was half flat and I'm going, oh, this is not a good thing. And so my dad, man that he is, the big compressor tank is right there beside my van and the hose is right there. But the attachment that goes on the end of the hose to blow up a tire was missing. Because I know how to do that. And I was just going to blow it up and come to church, you know. Couldn't do that. So luckily I have a car. And I went over and I moved my briefcase into the car and started it and started down the road and looked at the gas hand and it was empty. And so I did have to stop and buy fuel this morning. But I could have let that ruin my whole day. But we need to give thanks for things like that. Well, God, you know, there must have been a reason for this, so thank you very much. You know, we'll take care of it all after Sabbath is over later. But you have to do that. Pray at the drop of a hat. When something happens, our immediate reaction is try to fix it. Don't try to fix it. Pray about it first. Because usually if we try to fix it, we mess it up, and then we have to spend more time in prayer trying to get it fixed what we broke. It just works that way. Then the fifth thing we can do is resolve to support revival and church spiritual growth. We can resolve to support revival and church spiritual growth. Don't put the fire out. Don't quench the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to work and to change this church and to grow this church. The seventh thing we can resolve is to ask God to show us the whole truth and to be open to prophecy and the things that He would have us to learn to know. And the eighth one I have is for us to resolve to stay out of circumstances that increase our temptation. And by that I refer back to the reading, the television, the music, and that kind of stuff. Resolve to stay out of circumstances that increase our temptation. But the most important thing of all is found in verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass." See, these resolutions aren't anything that we can do on our own. It's impossible. Totally, completely impossible. But it says here, He also will bring it to pass. All of these things that Paul shared, he promises God will bring to pass in our lives. So these resolutions are things that if we maintain our connection to God, I guarantee you, you can keep them for the whole year of 2008. We need to resolve to allow God to make us this kind of people, a kind of people that loves, cares, prays, supports, uplifts, all of these things. We just need to open the door and allow God to bring it to pass. The song for the closing hymn this morning, it's not in the Adventist hymnal. I found it in the Baptist hymnal, and it's basically a resolution song. The title of it is I'm Resolved. It says bulletin insert. You should have a copy of it in your bulletin. And if not, I'm sure we can get Bill to bring the extras that he has out there. But I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Just look at the words and take this home and think about it through the week. And let's stand together as we sing. I am resolved no longer to linger. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I
Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad. Resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much that you've given us instruction in Scripture, that we know what you want us to do. And Lord, help us to be resolved as individuals and as a congregation that this year, during the year 2008, that we will become the people you want us to be only because you have given us the strength and the power and the guidance. Lord, help us to not put the Spirit's flame out. Help us to not quench it. Help us to always, Lord, look forward to the kingdom and do what is necessary to see that all who will enter in. Lord, guide and direct our lives and watch over us. Be with us as we travel home, for it's in Christ's name that we pray and ask it. Amen.
Thank you.